On a warm evening in Denver, Amy Arias preps her food truck, the vegan van, for the dinner crowd.
We've got pulled jackfruit pork, we've got fake chicken and waffles, and then with the ice cream, tonight I'm doing the millet and Rice Krispie treat with ice cream on top.
That's vegan ice cream, of course. Arias pulls out a metal baking sheet with a layer of wax paper on top and peels it away.
They are a chocolate hazelnut butter Rice Krispie millet treat. It's a mouthful.
Arias's puffed millet dessert is unique. Few cooks have latched onto the grain as they have with other ancient grains like quinoa. Millet seeds are tiny, round in shape, and can be white, yellow, or red.
I have to explain it, and sometimes people are a little apprehensive that it's not going to taste so good in a Rice Krispie treat because they expect something just sweet. And millet doesn't usually fall into those categories.
On the surface, millet has so many things going for it. It's gluten-free, nutritious, versatile, and grown in America. Colorado produces about half of the nation's millet, with the rest coming from South Dakota and Nebraska. But it also has some big hurdles to face. Most shoppers, if they've heard of it at all, equate millet with bags of birdseed, not exactly the first choice when picking out a side dish.
See, that is the millet getting ready.
Jean Hediger farms millet in northern Colorado. She says it's true. When it comes to millet, many consumers think bird feeder, not dinner plate.
It is a perception that's still out there, but it's actually a different millet than what we're raising for human consumption. And so we're working very hard to introduce millet for food.
Hediger says millet is gaining momentum. Demand for organic millet has been on the rise, riding the coattails of the growth in gluten-free foods. But last year, the farmers hit a huge setback. The usually drought-tolerant millet withered under exceptionally hot and dry conditions. Some farmers lost up to 80% of their crop.
Last year was a disaster. You know, all of a sudden our sales are doubling, tripling. It's really terrific. And then our buyers call and we say, well, we had a drought. We can't get access to the crop. And there's just a limited amount.
And that limited amount drove up prices for millet, making it even tougher to compete on grocery store shelves.
Introducing new products is very tough.
Tim Larson is in marketing for Colorado's Department of Agriculture. He took on millet as a pet project a few years ago after realizing the grain's potential. Millet is already eaten widely across Asia and Africa, only in small pockets in North America.
The whole ancient grains phenomena is new within the last year or two. So that's a sector that has appeal. Low carbon footprint people, locavore people, I certainly think could see some attributes of it. So we're optimistic over the next couple of years that we'll see some growth.
Unlike almost every other crop grown in the country, there's no trade association for millet, no organization tasked with marketing the crop, just a loose group of farmers with support from state ag officials, which makes it tough to break into new markets. Millet lacks a brand and cohesive message. Larson says the grain needs adventurous chefs and tastemakers to pick up millet for it to really take off. Back at the vegan van in Denver, a line is starting to form on the sidewalk. Amy Arias jots down the final few menu items, with the puffed millet crispy leading the list.
You know, sweets are always, I think, the best introduction to any kind of food, because most people enjoy them and they're not afraid to try them.
And maybe next time, she says, they'll try eating millet without it covered in chocolate and topped with a scoop of ice cream. I'm Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find other stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org.